Well, welcome back finally to the special broadcast all about Men's Health Week. You might have seen myself and Mark Sainsbury on the TV yesterday chomping at the bit to try and get as many of you fellas into your GP to be checked for whatever it is you need to get checked on. Now, we've also ensnared Scotty Morrison, our newsreader here on the hour at Wātea, and obviously Tikariri over there at TVNZ, and the warrant of the Men's Warrant of Fitness is on our Facebook page and website in collaboration with AA Insurance. You can go and get yourselves checked under the hood, at the, you know, wind the windows down, they say, which is a euphemism, if you like, for your eyes. Whether it be your gut health, liver, kidneys, cancer, whatever it might be, go and get yourselves checked. So we've just been talking with people like Matt McCartan and Willie Jackson about their journeys. But joining me on the line now is a good mate of mine. He's the former Deputy Police Commissioner, Wally Homaha. Welcome, Wally.
Kia ora, Matt.
I mean, it's a big kaupapa, and I know, look, I'm going to put it out there. I mean, you know, you're now a former police officer. You're as fit as a fiddle, I would argue, much more so than myself and Willie Jackson, who might meander now from pie shop to pie shop just a little bit more than we used to. But men's health is such, I mean, with the, you know, the story of Tūturoa Flabel, for example, having got cancer, it's a big kaupapa, eh?
Look, absolutely, and you know, it's awesome that we come together and look at Men's Health Week as an opportunity to look at preventative means, you know, particularly amongst many men, Māori men who die early, as statistics would tell you. But look, my journey, much like everyone else's, is not uncommon, except to say that when I was first diagnosed with prostate cancer back in 2009, in fact, I went in for an operation on the 10th of December 2009. And of course, Matt, it can do unbelievable things to your mental health as well, because, you know, when you hear the C word, automatically you think, my God, you know, I'm due to expire. But having said that, once I had the operation, and it's quite funny what led me into that, because I was actually at a Pōhiri, a farewell for one of our police staff, who was retired at 65 years of age, and he was going offshore. And I started shaking on the pipe. And I thought, heck, something's going on. And I shot off to the toilet, and my whole body started shaking, and I couldn't unbutton my tunic and my trousers. And I didn't know what was going on, so I shot downstairs to the police medical clinic, and the nurse saw me straight away, and then she rang an ambulance. And of course, I was rushed into hospital, and not knowing how my body was reacting or what it was reacting to. Shortly after that, I went to the doctors, and of course, I had a biopsy following on from that, and was diagnosed with prostate cancer, and my PSA levels were up around 17.
Wow.
So the early diagnosis sort of almost told me, my God, you know, at 17, because your normal rate is between 1 to 5, anything above that 6 and onwards, you start to worry and should be going to your doctor for regular checkups. So having been my PSA readings at 17, I then went to see an oncologist. My doctor referred me to an oncologist. And then he referred me to Wakefield Hospital in Wellington. And, of course, I spoke with the medical clinicians up there and the experts, and they said to me, we can do one or two things. We can go through the normal prostate removal, which cuts out the prostate, or we can do a treatment called brachytherapy. And they said to me at that time it wasn't that common in the country in 2009, so they said, you know, there was a good chance of survival inside of that. So long story short, Matt, I opted for the brachytherapy, which was less invasive than being cut. And this brachytherapy is radioactive materials that are implanted beside the tumor, and they release a prescribed radiation dose, which helps to damage the cancer cells, so the cancer cells can't grow and multiply, and eventually they die off. that was 2009, and without going into the detail, you know, I recovered from that, and then every 6 months I went back for a reading of my PSA levels, and eventually got down to, I think, 0.01. And look, but initially, I guess the long and the short of it is that my doctor at that time said to me, the cancer will never go away. It's like anything, you'll have to live with it and manage it in the best way you can. And of course, one of those conversations we had was about maintaining your health and keeping healthy. And he said, look, the more weight you put on, the more you're likely to feed the cancer. And he said, maintain a certain weight. So every 6 months I went back to the doctor, weighed in, looked at how I was tracking. We were doing well. My PSA levels were at a good level. And then I decided that I was going to the gym every day for the rest of my life until I eventually dropped the weights on my chest and then die underneath the weights. But look, Matt, it's been a long journey. Mm. I never spoke publicly about this until recently when my cousin Tudor was diagnosed with cancer. And so we called a meeting of all of our men in Rotorua to come to the marae, and then we would tell our story around what we went through and how we were diagnosed and what we have to live with. And of course, as you know me, Matt, yes, I do try and keep good health. My hair hasn't gone grey since I left boarding school. People say to me, you know, why do you look like that? And I said, because I'm a vain, in my words, I said, because I'm a vain bastard. and then they didn't need to know the rest, you know. And it's my journey through life with my kids who, you know, we had long conversations about anything like that. But look, we also, as men, think, have this thing in our heads that we will die before our wives. So part of that journey, too, in terms of the mental makeup, Matt, was how can I leave my family in the best position going forward? And that's all part of the journey that you wouldn't want to see your kids, your mokos, your wife being left to struggle on their own. So for the last 40 years, since 2009, well, the last 40 years, you know, I've just immersed myself in work, you know, during that 40-year career in the police. But now, having been liberated, I feel as though the rest of my time is about maintaining health, picking and choosing where I go to work, taking some time out to, you know, to smell the roses and enjoy a little bit of time with my mokos, going to their sport. All of these things are part of that therapy that help to contribute, you know, to keeping your mental health intact, Matt. So again, you know, it's not just about the physical side of strengthening your body and trying to live longer. It's also about maintaining that mindset and that, you know, you can do this. And if you have a purpose, you know, what I've always focused on, Matt, is making sure that there's a purpose in front of me so that there's always something to strive to, whether it's making sure my marae is well-kept, well-financed, well-looked after, our future is well taken care of, through to doing other jobs that I'm currently involved in. But by the same token, the choice is mine now, you know, and I can make those choices the way I want to work. And maybe Matt, I probably have started that too late. But then again, I try and balance, well, what does too late mean? On one side, you're working all your life for your family to position them so that they have a good life. And on the other side, you're sacrificing a bit of yourself to make sure they have that. And people say to me, oh, you've been a workaholic. You know, you never took enough time out. You never took enough vacations. I won't tell you how much tax I was taxed for not taking vacations, which would have contributed to part of my mental health when I saw the sum, Matt. But anyway, I think long story short, congratulations to you and others who have advocated for this week, for strengthening our people, and not only our Māori and Pacific people, but every, you know, good friends of mine, non-Māori and otherwise Pacific ethnic people who also, you know, we all suffer the same diseases in some shape or form, and it's always good to to now, I feel as though I can now share that story, given I'm at the end of my time in terms of career-wise, and I feel sort of, as I say, liberated to be able to share that story.
Well, to be fair, Wally, I still think you'd make a great police commissioner. I don't think it's all over Red Rover yet. Hey, but in saying that, I mean, you know, your story is powerful. It's one of many powerful stories. And, you know, as I've been talking to Willie Jackson and about his heart bypass surgery, around the same time, actually, as when you were in hospital. And then also Matt McCartan with his prostate, liver cancer, and so on and so forth. It's been an incredible privilege. Hey, for our listeners out there, don't forget to go and check out the Scotty Morrison Warrant of Fitness on our Facebook page and on the website. It's a fantastic tool. Of course, Scotty reads the news. He's sadly from Te Arawa. I had to get that. I had to get that
good
in there
on you,
as well.
Good on you, Scotty.
Yeah, I love you, Scotty. Hey, Wally Homaha, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it, Ewa.
Kia ora, mate. Ngā mihi a te kia ko te katoa. Kia ora.
Kia ora.